Hello, and welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. If you don't want a cookie cutter generic home, and instead you want a beautiful, meaningful home that's layered with personality, then you are going to be so inspired by the conversations we have on this show. We talk about why the environments we create matter and how to set up our rooms to evoke specific feelings and experiences that are right for you wherever you are in your life right now. I'm Zandra, your host and creator of the Slow Style Home Framework that teaches you how to make really thoughtful and informed decisions about your home rather than chasing current trends that may not last or staying stuck with rooms you hate, feeling overwhelmed with too many choices. Right now, when you join our monthly membership, the Slow Style Society, you'll get a personalized deep dive into your vision of what a dream home looks and feels like. And together, we'll come up with a plan on how to achieve that. If that sounds pretty awesome to you, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society for all of the details. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. Right now, let's just jump into today's episode. Hello. Today, I'm going to do something I've never done on the podcast before. I'm going to share a conversation that I had with a listener about a design question that she had. A couple of weeks ago, I sent out an email to the Slow Style Home newsletter subscribers and asked them if they'd be interested in a free one-on-one coaching call with me for the purpose of using it as a podcast episode. And the spots filled up really quickly, which is wonderful. So if you are interested in doing this kind of thing with me, stay tuned and be sure to sign up for the Slow Style Home newsletter because that's the only way that you would know about it. Anyway, what I found as I was doing these coaching calls, we were doing them on Zoom and we were able to see each other. But more importantly, I was able to see the photos of their rooms that they had taken before we got on the call. So they took some photos, they emailed those to me, and then I shared those photos on our screen so that we could both be looking at the room, the question together at the same time so that we would all be on the same page and we would know what each of us was referring to as we're talking. So it became quite evident very quickly that this wasn't really going to work for an audio-only podcast because we relied so heavily on the visuals and on the ability to be looking at the same photo together at the same time. So most of these coaching calls are going to end up over on our YouTube channel, which is at Slow Style Home, just like everything else. But I use the word channel loosely because I have really not done any work on YouTube to spiff it up and to make it look like a really well-established podcast channel. But I think for now, at least, it's a place to put these coaching calls so that if you are interested in following along and seeing what we're all talking about by having the visuals in front of you, then definitely go check that out. And in the meantime, eventually, I will be working on the YouTube channel to make it feel a little bit more legitimate. Right now, there are some older episodes on there that are just taken straight from the audio. Because I've been told that people like to listen to podcasts on YouTube as well as on their podcast players. So anyway, long story to let you know what's going on generally with those coaching sessions. This conversation is with a listener called Lisa. I won't use her last name. And I feel that because of the way she and I were both able to describe what it was we were looking at, and because she was really clear about what her questions were, this one does work for an audio-only episode. So that is what we're going to try out today. And I would love some feedback on if you like this format, if you like this idea of sitting in on a coaching session between myself and someone with a design dilemma. Send me an email, Zandra@slowstylehome.com, and give me your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. I would love to hear it. So Lisa's home on the first floor is very open. It's pretty much an open floor plan. There are some architectural details that define a couple of areas distinctly. We're looking at the family room, kitchen, and dining area. And her question is about the dining area in particular. I say dining area and not dining room because she does have a separate dining room, a more formal dining room in another part of the house. This one is really open to the family room and the kitchen, and so therefore it feels to her more like a kitchen table. But it holds eight people or more. I mean, actually, the dining area that we're talking about is really very large. In fact, it's so large that the other end of it is big enough that she's created a little seating area with two chairs and a little table. So the dining area is very large. It's got room for two different activities, the eating and this little seating area. Plus, it looks into the family room and it looks into the kitchen. I think that's all you really need to know at the moment about what the space looks like. I will tell you that her question has to do with rugs, and we are going to be talking about whether or not you need them, what kind of rug to get, what size rug to get, how to make sure that it ties in with the rest of the room and the home, as well as sourcing, specifically how to find vintage and antique rugs. All right, I think that's enough prep. Let's jump in with Lisa.
My question to you is, how do you find and what do you put under the table in the kitchen table? So my questions involving that, or the way I think about it, is the first thing I think about is food and it getting crunched into the carpet. So what kind of material do you need to that it can be cleaned?
Yeah.
I've seen different material types that I have no idea what they're talking about, but I don't want that fabric that's really hard, like that beachy kind that's kind of like straw where it's kind of hard on the feet and it's not comfortable.
Sisal. Yeah. You don't want sisal. It is hard on the feet. Yep. And also it's very hard to move furniture on, and you need to pull chairs in and out. So that is, you're absolutely right. That is not on the list of options.
Yep. And then it's such a big space. It needs to be big enough so that the chairs go back, I think, and stay on the carpet.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the rules around that. Like I said, it's a big kitchen and we're not used to this big kitchen, and it's just this open floor plan. So it's like, I understand why my friends tell me I need a carpet under that table. And I know the term grounding it, but I don't, you know, if you could elaborate on that, like, what does that mean exactly? But how do you tie that color? Although it's going to be neutral, but I want it to be dark enough so that if food gets smashed, it's not visible.
Like you said, Lisa, it's a very big space. You can see into the kitchen from the dining table. You can see into, would you call that the family room or the living room?
Family room in the back is the family room.
In the back, which is in the back. And then over to the side there, it's such a big room that there's another little seating area that you've got there with looks like a couple of chairs and a little table. That really is in the same space as the dining room. The other rooms you can just kind of, you can see into. Kitchen's over to the right, family room's over to the left. The dining room is behind those two things. I mean, it's really got all these great windows, floor to ceiling windows. It's very open and airy, the entire space. And I can see why your friends have said, oh, you need a carpet to ground this spot. And I think what they mean is to delineate an area. And when you have open floor plans, that's what many people do. They use rugs to delineate the different activities that are happening in the same room. So just as your rug is delineating a conversational area in your family room, where you've got chairs, it looks like you might have a fireplace, you've got a TV, you've got a couch, everything is around that carpet, that rug, and it really defines that area. And so your friends are saying, oh, you need to define the dining room area. Now, I would push back on that just a little bit and say that the shape of the room in some ways is already doing that for you. You've got these wraparound windows here and the chandelier. And so in some ways, this area does feel like it's already visually separated from the other areas. So if you really don't want to have a rug for reasons we're going to get into in a minute, then think about the fact that this area, because of these windows, because of the chandelier, is already pretty much, we can ground it, so-called ground it in other ways. What you might consider instead is doing a little area rug where this seating area is instead. Mm-hmm. That would delineate this seating area from the dining room table area, because those two things are in the same room. If you just had one carpet under the seating area, which again is two chairs, a little table, that may do the trick. That may break up this space into two distinct areas. Now, let's talk about what you would do, though, if you did want to get a rug and or a carpet on, in the dining room area, and what considerations to make. Let's talk about the grounding thing first. Grounding has to do with visual weight. And visual weight is when you look at something, depending on its scale, its overall size, and the quality of the material and how transparent it is, the more of all of that you have, the more visual weight you have. So if you think about, let's say, a desk, right? And it's made of wood and it's got wide legs and it's chunky. It's going to have a lot of visual weight and it's going to ground the space that it's in because it's in the lower third of a room. When you scan a room horizontally and you think about breaking it up into thirds, the lower third is where most of the furniture is. That desk is going to really ground that space. However, if you have a Lucite table, which is like an acrylic, clear, see-through table in that same spot, that is going to open up that lower third of the room, and it's not going to feel as heavy. And there are times for both. There's no right or wrong. There are times when you want to lighten up a space and times when you want to ground a space. My take on your living room area is that the table and six chairs or eight chairs is already a lot of stuff. It does not lack grounding, in my opinion. But I do believe, and I say this all the time, you know, I'm talking about rules, but I also really believe that it's in the eye of the beholder and it's got to feel good to you. If it feels off to you because you don't have a rug, then by all means, let's make sure you get a rug. But in my opinion, it does not feel ungrounded. If anything, I would maybe, like I said, put a little area rug in the little seating area to make that space feel even more intentional. Okay. Let's go back to the rug question itself and what kind of rug to get. So I think you're absolutely right. Food is an issue, but it's not as much of an issue as you may think unless you have small kids and high chairs, which I don't think you do. It doesn't look like you do based on the house that you have. I do not see any child paraphernalia in any of your rooms.
Correct.
So that doesn't mean that adults don't spill things. It just, in my mind, means it doesn't happen as often, and it's really not that big of a deal if you do. But I think a sisal rug or anything that has a high pile, so, you know, a really plush rug, is going to trap food and be a little bit more of a pain in the neck to get out than a flat weave rug. So I would avoid anything that's high pile or sisal, anything that's, you know, got that nubbiness to it. So we're talking about flat weave, and there's all kinds of flat weaves. I mean, Oriental rugs, Turkish rugs, they are flat weaves. You know, so it doesn't even have to be a new rug. It can be an old, beautiful Oriental rug that already has some wear and tear that you already don't mind there being, you know, a little bit of food that you have to then vacuum up, or a little bit of wine that's spilled or whatever. I think a pattern hides things so much better than a single solitary color, or even a couple of neutrals together. You talked about having a neutral rug, which is fine, but I would lean toward a pattern to hide all of those potential mishaps. The other thing a pattern is going to do is it's going to make the rug potentially feel like more like it's an intentional design element, as opposed to something that you put down because you thought the space needed it. That's not to say you can't find a neutral rug lacking pattern that's not going to look fabulous and beautiful. I'm just saying what is sort of the easier thing to do? Because you're going to be, I'm sure you already are, overwhelmed with choices. Talking about size of the rug, there are lots of people out there who do not use any rugs under their dining room table. They don't like it. It's not just the food. It's the issue of the chairs coming in and out, in and out. If those chairs can't slide easily on that rug, it's going to drive you up a wall. So I agree with you that the rug needs to be at least wide enough that all the chairs can be pulled out. Somebody can physically get up out of them, and the chair never comes off the rug. None of the legs come off the rug. So we are talking about a large rug, which means it's expensive. Even if you get like a cheapy rug at Home Depot or something, the larger the rug, the more expensive it's going to be. My preference is to go with something that's much more well-made, especially in a high traffic area like a dining room, because those cheaper rugs really don't last. What happens especially is the corners start to curl up and people trip on them. And yes, while I just said Oriental rugs can have some nice wear and tear, when it's not well made in the first place, I think the wear and tear doesn't look quite so good. Okay. So I'm talking about investing in either a new, patterned, well-made rug. It can be modern, it can be traditional, or going thrifting, antiquing, and looking for some older rugs, which will be Turkish, Ottoman, what we call Oriental, which is a great way to do it to save a lot of money. They're actually not as hard to find as maybe you might think. You can go online and look for used vintage rugs. We can get to sourcing in a second, but we're talking right now about size and material. So we want to cover sourcing and we want to cover how it kind of ties in with everything else. What do you want to talk about first?
How it ties in with everything else.
Okay. So I'm going to let you describe your style. What are you seeing in this room? You can use colors to describe it. You can use a feeling. To people who are just listening and not able to see, what do you think is going on here visually?
We'll be back after a quick break.
I assume you're here because you want a one-of-a-kind, personality-filled home, right? Well, in order to have that, you need to define and develop your signature style. When you do that, you're going to understand how to mix what you already have with new things you find, focusing on who you are and what you love, putting it all together in a cohesive way. So what's stopping you? Well, let me know if this sounds about right. Not enough time, not enough money, and a lack of creativity or design knowledge, which makes you feel overwhelmed and insecure about pulling the trigger and changing things up. This is why I created the Slow Style Society, to help you take action on making your dream home a reality. It's part social club for people who like to just geek out on design, and part hands-on learning experience where you get better and better at making decor decisions for each room in your home. And for the next few weeks, I'm offering all new members an additional one-on-one style session with yours truly. So I'll take you through the lessons so you know exactly what to focus on inside the Slow Style framework, in what order, and you'll have a personalized support system from me to get you there. Go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society so we can get started right away. Let's not wait for that imaginary perfect time to create your beautiful, meaningful home. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society. Okay, back to the episode.
So visually, what I've always enjoyed about our house is that we have central family areas. So for example, I like a deeper house than a wider house, because honestly, when the kids were young, it was about, can we run in a big circle? When there's a family kitchen, are all the children sweating? Because if they're sweating, that means it's an amazing party.
Yeah, I love it.
We like the, I don't want to call it chaos. We like the energy around putting them together. So when we moved to this house 4 years ago, the dining room table was there, and thankfully the people left a lot of furniture behind. So we were able to, this was their table and chairs. I had the chairs painted black because they have bed and it was a little too country for me.
Okay.
You'll see all of the light fixtures are a wrought iron, kind of a black mm-hmm. to it. So overall, it feels almost Western in like there's a lot of stone, there's the fireplaces. So this is actually the two leather high back chairs and an ottoman from our previous house that we had by our fireplace family room. And the family left behind a chess table. So we play chess there. And then the picture behind it is a, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of all these names. It's a, what style is it? It's anyway, my friend that I work with at Microsoft started doing art.
Okay.
And she created that piece and we bought it from her to support her artwork. And we love it so much. And so the colors I thought really tied together. So I like a blue red. I like, from a color perspective, the deeper, warmer tones.
Yep.
A blue red, a raspberry red, that type of thing. So you'll see that there. And then I didn't really send a good picture of the place where the couch is, but the carpet there has some, a little bit of browns in it, a little bit of peaches and stuff like that.
You mean the area rug that's in the family room area? Yeah.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And then that couch that's in there, the love seat, it's brown. And then these, the gray chairs in there turn.
Love
so
it.
You can really, big about conversations. So yep. I want these to not exclude anyone. That's my goal, to always have these gathering places and have them be, you know, conducive to the dogs, the toddlers, the, yep. you know,
yep.
people who want to sit and not move all day, but are super comfortable and they're part of the group.
Right. It's lovely. The walls in the photo I'm looking at, they look kind of like a yellow buff kind of color.
Yep. There's a lot of gold here.
Okay.
But what's nice about it is that each piece of art seems to kind of pull that color. Like when you turn towards the chess table area,
yep.
it looks a little bit more towards gold, which pulls the gold out of that picture. So the yellow color has worked because it's a lot of wall and I really don't want to pay to paint it
yep.
a different color.
Yep.
Also, it matches the fireplace and everything. And the floors are so beautiful and
yes.
deep.
Yes.
And that's another thing. It's like, I don't want to necessarily have something so light and neutral that it's just like screaming and it doesn't fit. But at the same time, I don't want to go dark because we already have dark on the floor. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Here's that. Yep. I love the artwork. I love that you've got an abstract painting. I love that it's from a friend. It looks like the painting that's above the fireplace in the family room is a still life or something. Maybe a botanical, which I love that it's a different medium, a different style than the abstract one. I think that they look great on these walls. And I would say that I'm never so much making a decision about where to hang art based on whether or not it has colors I already have in a room, but I am looking at how does it look on the wall? Does it really pop off of the wall or does it kind of feel like it's kind of faded? You know, it's very much like that old school thing when you do your colors. Gosh, we did this with my mom in like, I don't know, the 70s or 80s or something. And you hold up all these colors and you say, oh, I'm a spring, I'm an autumn, I'm a winter. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the same thing with art on walls. I mean, sometimes you put a piece of art up on a wall and the color of the wall just doesn't do anything for that piece of art. And that is not the case here. I think that they both of these piece of artwork look really great. And I also think they add a lot of personality to this space to keep it from looking generic. And I think that's maybe what we want to make sure doesn't happen is we're trying to get away from generic decorating and really hone in on your signature style. And so the carpet, I would find something that has the colors and a pattern that just make you giddy, that you just absolutely love. And I would think too about where you fall on the old new continuum in terms of mixing things together. So I love antiques and I love old things is on one end. And then on the other end is I like everything new. I like everything to be in perfect condition and streamlined and, you know, whatever, however you define old and new or whatever those two words kind of conjure up in your head. Where on that continuum do you fall? I believe that most rooms feel like they are alive when there is a mix. I don't dictate where on the continuum you should fall. I'm just saying when you go all the way to one end and everything is brand new, or you go all the way to the other end and everything is old, the room is going to feel like it's not lived in. And that's because when we mix old and new together, we are seeing that our homes are evolving. They're reflecting an evolution of our own lived experience, because we do collect things over time. And they are then an expression of who we are over time and different aspects of our personality, different aspects of what we were interested in at different points in our lives. So in this room, I would say to you, look around and see what elements do you feel are missing. Is something older kind of missing, something worn? Is pattern missing? Is a shot of color missing? And then you go, okay, well, like you said, I love these reds and like raspberry red, and I like this gold color. I see in that abstract painting, there's a little bit of blue in there. And you may want to find a rug that just really celebrates the love that you have of those colors, because it sounds to me like you really feel strongly about them. Then you can decide, how modern do I want to go? How old do I want to go? And you know, continue your search that way. And then, of course, you have to go on size, which will always be the hang up. Is this helping at all?
It is helping, yes. And I don't know if you can see this in the pictures, but the angle in the windows in that far section I'm waving at, mm-hmm. this is flat, this is angled, and this mm-hmm. is flat.
Yep.
So it's going to be maybe have to be cut on that one corner. That's the only thing that I think about. To me, that feels like it's got to be custom. But then I was thinking, if it's an older rug, you can just get a carpet company to kind of cut that one corner and just finish that corner. So yes. it would fit. So I think I just answered my own question. But
well, or you could think about an oval rug. Harder to find, but could be worth the wait. But you're absolutely right. A carpet company can do that with any rug. You know, I mean, you can get wall-to-wall carpet and have them cut it to a specific size, and they'll finish off the edges. I would get some painter's tape out, and I would lay out the perimeter of what you're looking for on the floor. And I would go as far as you can go with the chairs pulled out, and then measure and see how big are we talking. And then go as far as you can go with somebody still being able to get out comfortably, and see how small you can go. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So we're talking pulling in some of the colors that you love, making sure it's big enough, making sure it's a flat weave, sourcing. One of the first ideas that popped into my head, and I can't recommend them based on personal experience because I don't own them, but I do know a lot of people love Ruggable because you can literally put it in the washing machine. Now, we're talking about a huge one. You would probably have to take it outside and hose it down. But I know that people like it for that reason. But yeah. I think you know this already. I don't think it needs to be Ruggable in the dining room, because I just don't think it's going to be as much food as you may be worried about. So sourcing besides Ruggable. So like I said, finding some antique rugs, if you want to go that route. I mean, an antique rug, I think, would give the space a bit of gravitas. It would make it feel very layered in terms of giving you that older look with some of the more newer contemporary things you have. There are vintage rug shops online. In fact, there's one called The Vintage Rug Shop that you could try. There is another one called Revival Rugs, and they have a mix of old rugs, which are one of a kind, and new rugs that they make. They're all very well made. They're natural dyes. The weaving is very well done, so it's going to last for a long time. And then after that, you know, we're talking about going to a place like an actual honest to goodness rug store. That we're talking, I mean, a rug that big, it could be $9,000. It could be $12,000. I mean, it gets expensive when you buy new quality rugs. Otherwise, you're going to Home Goods or, you know, Home Depot or whatever, and you're getting, it's just not going to last.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So placeholder could be a little area rug for your chest area, just to define that in and of itself might define that space, differentiate that space from the dining room space. And you can take your time looking for this great big rug that you need. I can't think of anything else to add. Do you have any other questions I haven't answered?
No, I'm getting good ideas now. There's actually, the family left a bunch of oriental type carpets, which we've used everywhere. But I'm thinking the one in the family room has a bit of a gold touch to it and it's okay. Cream. So I'm wondering if I put that there, at least I can try it out, right?
Right.
So that's an idea. I was just thinking about.
I love that idea. And I recommend it all the time to use what you already have. And I think what's going to be really helpful in this case is that since it's a lighter, sounds like it's a lighter color rug, that's going to be so helpful for you to decide, do I want to go darker or do I want to stay lighter? Because I think that's going to really help you narrow things down. Then when you're out and about, you're at an antique show or fair, or you're looking online or whatever, you know, you can keep scrolling or keep walking past the light colored things or the dark colored things once you've lived with it for just a little bit being light colored. Because I don't know what a light colored rug would do in there, partly because I'm just not standing in there. I don't think it would look bad at all. It might be nice to see that contrast between the black chairs and something that's lighter underneath, or it may end up feeling like, well, like your friend said, it may feel like it's not grounded enough. I don't know.
So nervous about area rugs is what if I make a mistake? And you know, I have friends that return things no matter what, and they would return a rug. But I'm in the mindset of when you're dragging home a rug that weighs like a dead body and you roll it out and it's expensive as crap, do you want to roll it back up and put it back in the car and take it back when you, I think that's why I've done nothing. It's too intimidating to even figure it out. But after my conversation with you, now I'm thinking, well, why don't I just try the other carpet and at least, you know, eliminate light versus dark and that type of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is the most helpful thing I ever do in my house is use what I already have. And I can immediately see, oh my gosh, I thought a dark rug is exactly what this room needed. And now it's like sucking all of the energy out of the room like a black hole. You know, I just think you can get surprised sometimes. And so I'm so glad the fact that you have a rug that you can use is awesome.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. I've loved getting to see your room and getting to know you a little bit more.
Yes, me too. It's been wonderful. Thank you for all of the guidance and ideas. Good. And I love all of it. It's making me think.
Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.